Welcome to day two of Daily Acts, a 28-day journey where we are walking through 28 chapters from the New Testament book of Acts. My name is Dustin Agard. I'm one of the pastors here at Journey, and I'm going to be your guide for Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, you can pull it open. If not, we're going to walk through it together. Yesterday, we got to hear from Pastor John and really how Acts 1 establishes the birth of the church. And we're going to continue that conversation today. Now, the gentleman that wrote the book of Acts, his name is Luke. And just like you probably guessed, he also wrote the book of Luke. And it's really interesting. Luke was a doctor. And so we see things from a different perspective. And it reminds me of this pastor who was graduating with this doctorate in ministry. And as he was walking across the stage, he had the robe on, and his wife and his child were in the audience. And the proud mom leaned over to the young son and said, hey, your daddy is graduating. He's going to be a doctor. And the son was all excited. He never had a doctor as a dad. But he looked a little confused. And he said, well, where's his black medical bag with the tools and the medicine? And the mom realized where his mind was going and said, well, he's not that kind of doctor. That's a medical doctor. He's more of a spiritual doctor. And what's interesting is Luke was actually a double doctor, so to speak. Luke was a physical doctor, with a medical doctor, and he was also a spiritual doctor. He was a pastor. And so as we read through Acts, we kind of get an idea of Luke and how he's writing. And so we're going to continue to dive into this. Now, when I was in middle school, we had this thing. I don't know if you went through this phase. It could have just been weird Dustin Agard middle school phase. We had this thing that we called psych. Now, what psych was, it was when you wanted to tease your friends, mess with your friends. You would build up a really cool story, almost unbelievable. And then they were like, oh man, are you serious? And then you go, psych, I'm just kidding. That's not true. And so for example, you might say, you might tell your friend, hey, Jeremy, I heard Jessica likes you and she wants to ask you out. And Jeremy be like, man, are you serious? And you go, no, psych, joke's on you. She doesn't like you at all. And so we used to just tease each other with that. I don't know if you are familiar with that. And here's the thing, when you start to do that, you would start to kind of almost second guess your friends when they would start to talk. You're like, man, I don't know if I could trust them. They might be psyching me out. But what we find in Acts 2 is that God delivers on a promise, and there is no psych. There is no, is God going to fulfill his promise? God always fulfills everything that he's ever promised. His word never returns void, and we see that, and it's unpacked in Acts 2, because it's really a prophecy being fulfilled in Acts 2. That's really neat. In the Old Testament, we see multiple times of a prophecy that comes to fruition in Acts 2. The prophet Joel in Joel 2:28 and verse 32 says this, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, during his ministry, he taught about the Holy Spirit. Jesus on the Holy Spirit says in John 14 through 17, and even in Acts 1, we learn that the Father gives us the Holy Spirit as an advocate and that he will be with us forever. The Holy Spirit will teach us. The Holy Spirit will be given to us after Jesus leaves. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and teacher, says John 14, 26. John 16, 7, 8 says the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, the Holy Spirit dwells within believers. Acts 1, 8 says the Holy Spirit gives us power. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. What the Holy Spirit offers for the Christian and the church should not be minimized or missed. And that's what we're learning, and that's what we're being introduced to. And Acts chapter 2 is the Holy Spirit. This is what Acts 1:8 says. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's jump into Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to walk us through some verses. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read some of the beginning and kind of walk us through what's taking place in Acts chapter 2. It says this, "When the day of Pentecost came, they," meaning the disciples, "were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." And it's important to note that God's presence is often associated with fire. And so that's kind of the image that's going on in this. The presence of God is in this place. Verse 4, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." So you got the disciples having this conversation, and then all this says, all these people, these God-fearing Jews from everywhere started gathering around. In verse 6, "When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken." And so this crowd is starting to hear. They're from a faraway place, and they're saying, "But I'm hearing you speak in my language." It's unbelievable. Verse 7, "Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans?'" Meaning, aren't they only from one place? But why am I hearing them speak in my language? "Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Verse 8. And then I want to share with you this map. This is where everybody came from in verse 9. And we have all kinds of people from all kinds of places. You have Parthians, you have Medes, you have Elamites, you have residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. This is three continents with 15 different people groups, and this is the birth of the church. And this is where Holy Spirit comes in at Pentecost. It is a multicultural event that is taking place, and everybody's coming from all over. They come together, they receive the Holy Spirit, and then they get sent out. It reminds me like a football huddle. A football huddle, everybody gathers up to get the play, and then they get sent out. And that's exactly what the church should look like. Then and every Sunday when we meet should be a gathering of the believers. Let's get the play and then let's go and live it out what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. In Acts, we'll keep going. In Acts 2:12, it says this. It says, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" And so the crowd is gathering and they're looking at this and their question is, "What does this mean?" And let me just tell you, no matter where you're at in your faith journey, maybe you're not even a believer and you're watching this. Anytime that God is trying to get your attention, whether it's a message, reading the Bible, or you're just processing something, it's always a great question to ask, "What does this mean?" And when you ask God with an open and sincere heart, "What does this mean?" He is eager to teach you. And so you have this humble posture that's taken place. And it says, "What does this mean?" And then shortly after that, Peter completely unpacks the gospel. I mean, just goes on this incredible sermon and just talks about the gospel, about how Jesus loves you and he died on the cross. And then he gets a little bit personal with the audience because he's talking to a whole bunch of Jews. And this is what it says in Acts 2:36. It says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And so I want you to imagine the scene. All these Jews are coming from all over. Peter's sharing the gospel, and he says, "The Lord of the universe, you killed him." Now, obviously, this would be highly offensive, but Peter wasn't backing down from truth. He was preaching with boldness. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And I love the response. They didn't get defensive. They didn't have an argumentative spirit. They didn't have anything in them that was drawing them. This is their response in Acts 2:37. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart." You see, that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. It cuts at the heart. It convicts. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" What a great, great question. So every time you hear a message, every time you open your Bible, every time you feel like God is trying to do something, the first question is, what does this mean? Followed by a second great question, what shall we do? And again, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, doesn't hesitate. He answers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let me just pause right there. Maybe you've never began a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you just always thought you were a Christian. Maybe you didn't realize you needed to actually take a step and make your faith your faith. If that's you and you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, I need to repent and be baptized. I need the forgiveness of Christ on me and I need to receive the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want to encourage you, go to journeychristian.com/next step. We'd love to connect with you, answer questions, pray with you, and help you on your faith journey. Following up in Acts 2:41, it says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." So this is not some little small Bible study or a small group. 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus that day. That is revival. God was moving. That's Pentecost. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And it was beautiful. But we're not done yet. Because what they were doing is they were getting right with God. But as we know, Christianity is both horizontal and vertical. It's getting right with God and then getting right with each other. And so they were getting right with God. And then it takes a shift at the end of Acts 2. And it beautifully starts getting people getting right with one another. And I want to read this to you. This is Acts 2:42 to 47. It says this, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved." Now, I don't know what goes on in your mind when you read that, but that's just beautiful. When you have the people of God coming together with such generous spirits, with such kindness, with such unity, with such vision, where they're willing to do whatever it takes for the kingdom. And let me just tell you, I don't know how you respond when you read that, but I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could sell myself. I don't know if I could do this, or that. And so I just want to roll a couple questions. How were they able to perform miracles? It says they had many signs and wonder. How were they able to do that? The Holy Spirit. How were they able to share everything they owned as if it wasn't even that big of a deal? The Holy Spirit. Why would they sell their stuff and give the money to those who were in need? The Holy Spirit. How were they having less stuff and less things of this world, but more joy than ever before? The Holy Spirit. How did they see so many people give their lives to Christ? The answer is the Holy Spirit. You see, when we give our lives to Christ and when we are led by the Spirit, it changes how we live. We end up doing things we never thought we'd do. We end up being more generous than ever. It does to people outside of Christ, it doesn't even make sense on how generous we are. Why would you sell everything and give it to the poor? Why would you share everything that you have? That's your stuff. Why would you let your neighbor borrow your car for a month? Why would you be extravagant with your love? And the Holy Spirit helps us live out all the commands that Christ has called us to live. You see, you and I can't do that on our own flesh. But it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we do that. And we receive the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And when we walk in step with God, we're able to be led by the Holy Spirit. What happened in Acts 2 was not man-made progress. This wasn't a great feat. This wasn't an awesome thing to celebrate man. That's not what was taking place. This was a spirit-filled promise that was being fulfilled by God. This was a prophecy in the Old Testament. This is something that Jesus talked about. This was a God-fulfilled promise, and there was no psych. There was no, well, is God really going to do that? No, God fulfilled exactly what he said he was going to do. And so let me ask you this, two questions that I think we should always ask in light of any time we're reading scripture, any time we're seeking God, hear a message, anything. What does this mean? And what shall I do? So today, what does this mean? Spend some time between you and God asking that question. God, in light of Acts 2, what does this mean? And then the next one is, what shall I do? Now, anytime we talk about hearing from the Holy Spirit, the number one thing I hear from people is, I don't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to let him lead my life. And I would say 9 out of 10 times, the answer is as simply as slowing down, being still, and listening. You see, a lot of times our prayer life is made up of us talking. But really what it needs to be a lot of times is us talking and then just shutting up and listening. And so if you have time, whether it's in the car or whether you're on the treadmill, wherever you're at, if you can just be still, don't look at your phone, turn the music off and just, God, what are you trying to tell me? What should I do? And then just listen. Sometimes I'll say, God, I'm not even going to get up until I hear from you. And I just want to listen to the voice of God. He's eager to lead you. He's eager to give you power. And we need to lean into it. Let me pray for you. So God, we love you. Thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. We recognize that the same God and the same Spirit that moved mightily in Acts 2 wants to move mightily today in my family. The same God that moved and brought reconciliation in Acts 2 wants to bring reconciliation to my relationships and to my friendships. You want to move with power. You want to change me from the inside out. And so God, as we ask those two questions, what does this mean and what shall I do? We pray in the name of Jesus, would you speak to us right now? Some of us, this might be the first time we've ever slowed down to listen to you. Would you just speak to my friends? I know you're eager to speak to us. Help us to slow down, fill us with power, and may we go and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Daily Acts. Don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for the notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of our Daily Acts journey.